Revelation chapter 16, tonight we'll begin the seven bowl judgments, which is the last set of judgments that are going to come during the tribulation period. Revelation chapter 16, look if you will, starting in verse 1, and we're going to read about the first bowl judgment. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go and pour out bowls of wrath of God on the earth." Thus, the bowl judgment. You see the word bowls there. Now, look, if you will, the first bowl in verse 2 of Revelation 16. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who had worshipped the image. The first bowl deals with people who have denied God during the tribulation. Now, what we're going to see tonight in these bowl judgments, over and over again, a judgment comes and people still refuse to repent. Now, let's bring up a question we brought up and talked about many times. Can people get saved in the tribulation? And the answer to that is yes, they can technically. But more than likely, they won't. Because in 2 Thessalonians, the Bible says they're going to believe a lie. They're going to be sent a strong delusion. The Antichrist, the false prophet, are going to have such sway over people, they're still going to believe in them over the true and the living God. So, yes, people can technically get saved, but I doubt most of them will. I still believe, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and other places, that they're going to believe a lie. They're going to believe the signs, wonders, and miracles of a lying Satan, of a lying false prophet. They're going to believe that over the Word of God. So, this first bowl deals with those who have denied God and have done what? They have taken the mark of the beast and worship his image. Now, some of you want me to talk about that right now. No, I'm going to shelve that. We will get back to that, okay? Because I don't want to chase rabbits, okay? Do you ever chase rabbits, Brother Ron? Every preacher you know chases rabbits, okay? But seriously, put that on the back burner and we will come back to that. But those who have denied God, those who have taken the mark of the beast and worship his image, which we'll get into later, what's going to happen to these people? Sores are going to come upon these people. The Bible calls them loathsome, which means bad. They're going to be harsh. They're going to be difficult. The Greek word for this loathsome is helkos, H-E-L-K-O-S, and it literally means an ulcer. So what's going to come upon the people who denied Christ, who have taken the mark of the beast and worshiped the image of the Antichrist, are going to receive these ulcers that the Bible calls loathsome. They're going to be painful. I believe they'll be festering, and they'll be like an incurable cancer. That is the first bowl that's going to come. Remember, we're in the last set of judgments during the tribulation period. It starts out the first bowl, those who have denied Christ, who've taken the mark of the beast, who worship the image of the beast, will get these loathsome sores, these ulcers that are what? Painful, festering, and cannot be cured. So that's all there is to the first bowl. The second bowl, look at verse 3, Revelation 16, verse 3. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Now the sea becomes blood as of a dead man. And all, now listen, all the living creatures in the sea died. Now, does that bring back a remembrance to you, a memory to you? If you remember, back in the second trumpet, a third of the seas and the oceans become blood, and a third of the sea creatures die. I don't know if you remember that or not, but that came in this second trumpet judgment. Now, in the second bowl judgment, the rest of the seas, the rest of the oceans will be turned to blood. And listen, and the rest of all the creatures in the seas and the oceans will die. In other words, when you go look out on the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Indian, all the rest of them we learned in history, okay? They're all going to be what? They're all going to be blood red, turned to blood, and everything in the waters will die. That is the second bowl judgment. Now think about that. What's that going to do? That's not only going to have a stench like you wouldn't believe. All the traffic on the seas, all the ocean liners, all of the ships are basically going to come to a stop. Now, do we not know in COVID what happens when we don't get ships from where? China. What happens when that stops? What happens to our economy? What happens to the goods and services that we're used to? It all stops. Can you imagine all the waters as thick as blood and all the creatures on top of the water coming up to the water? It's going to basically stop all that traffic, and you can imagine what the result is going to be. Okay? The third bowl, look, if you will, now starting in verse 4. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of the water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is, who was, and who is to be. You have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due." Verse 7. And I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." Now, what's going to happen on this third bowl judgment? The rivers and the springs of water now become blood. What's that going to do, Brother Ron? It's one thing for the seas, the oceans to become blood. But now, what happens when the rivers and the springs become blood? It does what? It affects our water source. It affects the water source of the people. Now, under the third bowl judgment, these rivers and these springs are become blood, and the fresh water supply is going to become blood. Now, all of these water sources are going to turn into blood. Why? Why did God turn them into blood? What's the reasoning behind that? Look again at verse 5. And I heard the angel of the waters say, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things." Now look at verse 6. "For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets." How much blood has been shed from the beginning of time with God's saints and prophets? There is literally no telling. Now God's going to turn the table. The blood that they shed against the saints and against the prophets, look at verse 6, "and you have given them blood to drink." People are going to try to drink literally blood to get some water, because all the fresh springs and rivers are going to be blood. Somehow they got to have water. Okay? Now look at the end of verse 6. "For it is their just due." God said, "You shed the blood of my saints and especially my prophets who tried to give you the truth. Now I'm going to turn around and you're going to see what blood's all about. You're going to try to drink blood to try to get some water." That's what that's about. That's why that is going to happen. Their fourth bowl judgment, look if you will now, starting in verse 8. "Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who had the power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory." This judgment, this fourth bowl judgment, involves the sun and how it scorched men with a great heat. Now, we know what that's about to some degree living in Mississippi, don't we? Okay? Can you imagine the whole world? The Bible calls it being scorched with a great heat. You say, how hot is that going to be, Brother Ron? I don't have any idea. But when the Bible uses the word scorch, what do you think of when you think of a scorched earth? Have you seen the all the fires out in California? What happens to the ground? It's scorched, right? Or you've been out in the desert and the land is just scorched. That's what it's going to look like or feel like for all human beings on the earth. It's going to be a great heat. And instead of turning to God, what does verse 9 say? Here's what I have a hard time with. If you saw all these things happening, what logically would you do? If there was a church left, I'd be running to it. If there was an altar anywhere, I'd be coming to it. But I'm telling you, this strong delusion is going to keep men from doing that. What does the Bible say in verse 9? They did not repent, nor did they give glory to God. The fifth bowl, look at verse 10. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. And watch, and did not repent of their deeds. Now, what happens under the fifth bowl judgment? The lights go out. Darkness comes upon mankind. A darkness that you can feel. Have you ever been in such darkness somewhere that you do like this and you couldn't see your hand? Anybody been that way? It's such a darkness that it seems like you can feel it. That's what's going to happen under this fifth bowl of judgment. But what happens again? Men do not repent. Men do not come to God. Men do not come to Him, the Bible says, and give Him the glory. Now, the sixth bowl, look if you will, starting in verse 12. Then the sixth angel, poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of demons performing signs which go out of the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Now, again, here's what I want you to do. It's going to be hard for some of you. I want you to put verse 13 and verse 14, most of verse 14, in your back pocket. We were going to talk about that in the next couple weeks, okay? Now look if you own verse 15. Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gather them to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Now the sixth angel pours out this bowl, and the river Euphrates dries up. In a sense, it's calling for the kings of the east to prepare for the battle of the Armageddon. Now, do you remember our previous study? The battle of Armageddon does not take place in chapter 16. Where does it take place? It takes place in chapter 19. We're just preparing the way. Things are happening for that battle to take place in chapter 19. So that's what's happening there. Getting ready for the battle of the Armageddon. It won't happen again until chapter 19, but now the stage is set for that to happen. Again, we'll discuss verse 13 and verse 14. That's going to connect to some characters that we're going to study here in the next few weeks. Okay. Did I tell you these would be fast? We went about as fast tonight as we've ever been, right? But there's a lot there in a sense, but in a sense, it's very easy to understand. Now, this last one, we got 15 minutes. you're going to have to put your thinking hat on a little bit. It seemed like the last judgments, the seventh seal, the seventh trumpet, were all pretty intense. So was this one going to be, at least to some degree. Now look, if you will, at the seventh bowl judgment. Look at verse 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. Now watch, this bowl judgment has something to do with the air. And a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." Okay? In other words, after this seventh bowl judgment, all the judgments are done. Now, we're not going to stop. We're going to go back and catch the characters and the collapses. Okay? But in reality, this ends the judgments that God's going to bring on the earth during the tribulation period. Verse 18. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as not occurred since man were on the earth. Now, we've talked about earthquakes during the tribulation period. Jesus talked about earthquakes in Matthew chapter 24. You see, folks, I believe right now we're living in the birth pains that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 24. He said before the end time comes, what would happen? There'll be wars and rumors of war. There'll be nation rise against nation. Are we not seeing that day in the global setting? Okay. There'll be famines and pestilence, okay, and earthquakes in what? Various places. We right now, I believe, are going through the birth pains. It's all coming down to what we're talking about. Okay? Verse 19. Now the great city, circle the word great city, because we got to figure out what that is, was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give up her cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away and the mountains were not found. Boy, that is a statement. Verse 21, and great hail from heaven fell down upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Does anybody have any idea how much weight that is? I heard something. I know you're on your phones right now, right? It's about 90 to 100 pounds. Has anybody ever been in a hailstorm? What's the biggest hail that you've encountered? 2 inches? 3 inches? Okay, how much did they weigh? 3 pounds? 4 pounds? Can you imagine 90 pounds? That's what the Bible says. Men blasphemed God because of the plague and the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Now, this time the judgment is poured out into the air. And as a result of this, what's happening? Noises, thunderings, lightnings, and a great earthquake. Now, since our study began in the book of Revelation, we have talked about at least 3 different earthquakes that have taken place in the book of Revelation. This earthquake, by far, is the greatest. And I'm going to show you, when I end it up here in a few minutes, why it's the greatest of all these earthquakes, the most intense. Much controversy now in these verses is, what is this great city? Look again, if you will, back to verse 19. So we see that the seventh bowl was released into the air. We see the noises, the thunderings, the lightnings, and especially this earthquake. Now look at verse 19 again. Now the great city was divided into 3 parts. Now watch what's going to happen. This great earthquake is going to divide what is called the great city into 3 different sections. Right? Now, who is this, or what is this great city? What city is John talking about? Much controversy has been brought up about this great city and what city it is. Some would say it's Babylon, the capital and headquarters of the Antichrist, where he controls both the political and religious systems of the world. Okay? I don't believe that's what it is. Okay? Now, when you look at the text, it seems to say 3 things are going to happen to this great city. So, if I do not believe it's Babylon, if I do not believe it's that great city, if I do not believe that great city called Babylon, where the religious and economic comings and goings of the Antichrist are, then what city is it? Keep your finger there and turn quickly back to chapter 11. Chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Now, we're going to get into this probably next week on the two witnesses. But I want you to see verse 8. And their dead bodies, there being these two witnesses that we're going to talk about next week, will lie in the street, now notice, of the what? The great city, now watch, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now, when I first read that and I thought, oh, yeah, how can it be Jerusalem when it's called Sodom and Egypt spiritually? It's because during the tribulation time, the city of Jerusalem can be compared to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's how bad it's going to be. That's how much immorality is going to be there. Because why? The Antichrist is in control. Satan's in control. The false prophet are in control. And the very city that we equate with everything spiritual is going to look like Egypt or Sodom and Gomorrah. But now, notice the last half. It says, where also our Lord was crucified. Where would that be? Jerusalem. So, the great city here is Jerusalem. Now, I need you to understand something real quick. I got to get going. Okay? The earthquake is going to destroy a lot of cities. Hear the word destroy. But this earthquake is also going to enhance. Hear the word enhance. The city of Jerusalem. You say, what do you mean, Brother Ron? Here's what's going to happen during this great earthquake. The Bible says three things are going to happen when you look at the text. Okay? It seems to say this. First of all, the great city, which we now know as Jerusalem, will be divided. Okay? Something's going to happen to Jerusalem. The cities of the nations fail. Why? Because of this earthquake. All these major cities are going to fall. Something's going to happen to Jerusalem, but it's not going to fall. It's going to be enhanced. Thirdly, Great Babylon is remembered before God. God's going to bring judgment on this. Now, with that in thought, the great city, as we said, is Jerusalem. The earthquake will not, listen to me, judge Jerusalem, but rather it will enhance Jerusalem. Now, what do you mean, Brother Grom? The great earthquake will do three things to the city of Jerusalem. There are three enhancements to the city to prepare it, watch this, for the central role it's going to play in the millennial kingdom. Do you know what the millennial kingdom is? Jesus Christ is going to reign from where? Jerusalem for how many years? 1,000 years. Now think about this. This great earthquake is going to destroy many cities, take them out. But in Jerusalem, it's going to change that literal landscape. To get ready for who? To get ready for King Jesus. Because there's where he's going to rule during the millennial kingdom, that 1,000 years here on the earth. Okay? Now notice what's going to happen. The Mount of Olives will split in two, and a new valley running east and west will be created. That's the first thing that's going to happen in Jerusalem. The Mount of Olives. How many times have you read about the Mount of Olives? In the gospel. You read about it all the time. Jesus met with disciples there all the time, right? It comes into play with the Last Supper, doesn't it? Okay? Okay, what's going to happen? It's going to be split in two, and a new valley running east and west will be created. I don't have time. If you want a verse for that, it's Zechariah 14, verse 4. You want to write that down. Zechariah 14, verse 4. Now, second thing, a spring of water will flow year-round from Jerusalem to the Mediterranean Sea and the Dead Sea, causing the desert to bloom like a rose. That's in Zechariah 14, verse 8. And if you really want to see that, go to Isaiah 35, verse 1. I thought I was going to show you this, but I just don't have time because I want to get done. Okay? That's the second thing that's going to happen. Jerusalem, watch, is going to be elevated, and the surrounding region is going to be flattened into a plain. That's Zechariah 14, verse 18. So there's three things. This earthquake, though it's going to destroy these cities held by the Antichrist and the false prophet, it's going to do something wonderful to Jerusalem. Isn't that just how God works? Okay? The Mount of Olives is going to be split in two. A new valley is going to run from the east and the west. Okay? A spring of water in that valley will be flow year-round from the Mediterranean and the Dead Sea, causing all that desert parched land to bloom like a rose. Now watch, this is exciting to me. I got excited in my office. You didn't hear me, did you? Jerusalem's going to be elevated. Okay? And the surrounding land is going to be flattened into a plain. Okay? Now, look if you will in verse 20. Go back to verse 20. Revelation 16. We'll end this up. Now watch this. Every island, because of this earthquake, this great, great earthquake, every island fled away and the mountains were not found. Okay? The islands and the mountains of the world, listen to me, will no longer be because of this great earthquake. Now, this process started in Revelation chapter 6. I do want you to turn there real quick. Under the sixth seal, Revelation chapter 6, look at verse 12. And I looked when he had opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to earth as the fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by the mighty wind. Now look at verse 14. And the sky receded as a scroll. Remember we talked about that? It rolled up. Now watch. And every mountain and island was moved out of its place. It started under this seal. Under the seventh bowl judgment, it's going to be completed. What does it say? That every island and every mountain, okay, the island fled away and the mountains were not found. Okay? So it started in the sixth seal. It will be finished under the seventh bowl judgment. Okay? Now watch. I'm going to close. This is exciting. Why is all that important? Guess what's going to be the highest elevation in the whole world? I get goosebumps. It's going to be Jerusalem. Where Jesus will reign. It's going to be the highest point in all the world. All, everything else, all the mountains and everything in the way is going to be flattened. And Jesus is going to reign from Jerusalem. So the earthquake that took out the cities is the same earthquake that enhanced Jerusalem, waiting for that millennial kingdom to start. Isn't that wonderful? That's what that is going to be. But now a sad commentary. Verse 21, what happens to people? I believe if I saw a mountain just go boop, boop, I'd fall down. Would you not? They don't. What's going to happen to them? Hailstones, the weight of 90 pounds to 100 pounds, scholars tell them. It's going to rain on the earth. What can hold up under that? Can you imagine the devastation, the loss of property? And listen to me, the loss of life. That's going to be. All right. 7:27. Told you we were going to be early. You just didn't believe me, did you? Now watch. We're done, okay, with the judgments of the tribulation. We're done with the seal, the trumpet, and the bowl judgments that are all going to take place during the tribulation period. These are the catastrophes. Now, next Wednesday night, we're going to back up and start talking about the characters of the tribulation. So, in your timeline, in your outline, you got the rapture. You got the tribulation. Okay? plug in three judgments. Okay? Seal, trumpet, and bowl. That's all I want you to plug it in. Okay? Again, next week, we're going to get to what many of you are looking for. And it's going to go by pretty quick. Okay? I'm not going to go into extreme depth on all these characters. Some of them we'll have to. But we're going to talk about the characters of the tribulation period. Okay? The Antichrist, the false prophet, all the rest. There's a bunch of them in there. We're going to go over them pretty quickly. And then we'll follow back after that on the collapse. And then we'll be done with the tribulation period. And we're really going to be way over into the book of Revelation. Okay? Everybody good? All right. Thank you for coming tonight. We appreciate it so much.